Number 37 from April of 2013, Unionism. The echoes of tragedy are still resounding from the senseless shooting of 20 first grade students at Sandy Hook School in Newtown, Connecticut. Each family that lost a child is trying their best to get through the shock and denial and work their way towards some acceptance of their loss in the grieving process. Then there is the next circle out in the ripple effect of this tragedy with the friends of these families. Next, there is the entire community that feels the loss of life and the loss of safety in their town. And finally, all of us in this country feel a hopelessness that sanity is slipping away from us in our culture. Almost unnoticed in all this, there is another tragedy that has occurred as folks were struggling to deal with the loss in their town. This one is a religious tragedy. In the aftermath of the shootings, the community got together for a memorial service for all the victims' families. All of the religious leaders in the area were invited to participate in this gathering to show support and hope to their community. One of the children killed was a young Lutheran child, and the newly ordained pastor of that Lutheran church agreed to give the benediction as his part of the service. The tragic part of this story is that this young pastor was sent a letter of discipline by the synod president for his taking part in the service. He was censured for joining together with religious people who were, quote, not of his faith, unquote, and told that he needed to apologize to the entire synod for his actions. What, you might ask, was wrong with his actions? According to the policy of this particular Lutheran body, not the ELCA, joining together with the other religious leaders is called unionism and syncretism. Those are two fancy words that mean that we don't want to give the impression that we are in agreement with these other religious people concerning their beliefs or practices. We must stand apart from them and not be contaminated by their unorthodox beliefs. We cannot be lumped together with other denominations, and certainly not with other religions. We have the corner on the market of the true word of God, and we wouldn't want anybody else to think otherwise. Even though this did not happen in the ELCA, I am still concerned that any group that has the label of Lutheran would give this impression to the rest of the world. It smacks of arrogance, superiority, and exclusivity. It cries out that rules are much more important than people who are hurting. This is not the first time this kind of thing has happened. After the terrorist attacks of September 11, 2001 occurred, all of the religious leaders in New York were asked to participate in prayers for the victims, their families, friends, and for all Americans. The religious leaders did this, including the district president of that Lutheran synod. He also was disciplined for his unionism and was made to repent and apologize to the entire synod at their next convention. Clear-thinking individuals at that time wondered what he had done that was so wrong and were very confused about the whole thing. Most people thought that it was a good idea for their leaders in faith to stand up and be heard from in a time of tragedy and grief. Most folks thought that this was exactly the time for all Americans to pull together and show support and give hope to those devastated by their loss. Maybe this rule is what it says in the rule book, but it just doesn't make any sense to ordinary Christians. Interestingly enough, this kind of exclusivity and ecclesiastical arrogance is exactly the thing that Jesus constantly spoke against to the religious leaders of his time. You don't have to read very far in the four Gospels to see that the group that Jesus ground up the most was the religious leaders, the scribes, the Pharisees, and the priests. They were constantly setting up barriers of rightness and holiness that Jesus was just as constantly breaking down. To the religious leaders, the Samaritans, for example, were not good enough. The tax collectors were not right enough. And the woman caught in adultery was certainly outside the bounds of God's grace. But they were not outside the extended, inclusive arms of Jesus. He was always more inclusive and less exclusive. Without the welcoming arms of Jesus, none of us Gentiles would be a part of the body of Christ today, because the religious leaders certainly didn't think that Gentiles should be included. Are we that afraid that rubbing elbows with people who aren't our denomination could destroy our faith? Jesus said that perfect love casts out fear. Do we really believe that we have nothing to learn from other denominations? Do we think that non-believers don't watch how we treat one another before they might be attracted to join us? I wonder how I could function as a hospital chaplain if I couldn't pray for people, quote, not of my faith, unquote. The vast majority of chaplain visits that I make are not made with Lutherans. Mostly, patients don't even care what denomination I am and don't ask. They just want a word from God and a prayer before they go into surgery or after surgery when they are hurting. They just want comfort as they are dying. I would hope that Lutherans would not be seen with arms blocking the way, but as people with arms outstretched, welcoming fellow sinners to us and to God.